This is Can Do, Lessons from Savvy Montana Entrepreneurs, a podcast that explores why Montana leads the nation in entrepreneurship and business startups. I'm Arnie Sherman. The sight of travelers heading west on Highway 10 towards the 1962 Seattle World's Fair inspired a group of Montana businessmen to start Billings Campground along the Yellowstone River. Instead of overnighting by the side of the road, for $1.75 a night, campers could pitch their tents near a picnic table, a fire ring, and a hot shower. A year later, the partners founded Campgrounds of America as a system of franchise campgrounds boasting cleanliness and security. The Great American Road Trip thrived, and KOA's franchising expanded quickly. Today on Can Do, Lessons from Savvy Montana Entrepreneurs, we're talking about the current boom in recreational camping with the newly named KOA president, Toby O'Rourke, the first woman president in the company's 56-year history. Production support for this Can Do podcast comes from the Dennis and Phyllis Washington Foundation, dedicated to investing in people to improve the quality of their lives, and from the Greater Montana Foundation, encouraging communication on issues, trends, and values of importance to Montanans, and from Blackfoot, providing communication solutions for Montana businesses, plus opportunities like C2M Beta, an innovation lab aimed at helping startups thrive. C2MBeta.com. Good morning, Toby. How are you today?
I'm great. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Toby is joining us today from our sister station, Yellowstone Public Radio in Billings, Montana. For our listeners who may be familiar with the iconic yellow, red, and black KOA logo, but not the company behind it, tell me a little bit about the KOA story.
Yeah, you know, KOA is an entrepreneur success story. I know this show's focused on entrepreneurs, and it really is a success story. It was founded in Billings, Montana, clear back in 1962. A man by the name of Dave Drum saw an opportunity with some land he had near the highway to capitalize on people going to the World's Fair. So he created a space where people could stop and camp. And that was really, you know, the first KOA, if you will. And it's led to this, you know, it was a franchise company. We now have 31 owned properties that the company owns, in addition to our 500 franchises all across the United States and Canada. So pretty much anywhere in those two countries you're looking to camp, you're going to find a KOA. And I was going to say, we're still headquartered here in Billings, Montana, you know, a full team that's supporting our franchises and our company-owned properties across the system, and really are the leader in outdoor hospitality across the world.
How large an organization do you have to have in Billings to run this whole 500 franchisees and the company-owned properties?
We have about 80 people here in Billings at the home office across, you know, core disciplines of marketing, franchise service, system development, technology, as well as our management team and accounting. And then nationwide, we have about 1,200 employees, and that's the bulk of that's employees on our company-owned properties. So because we're a franchise company, those are independently owned and operated businesses, and they have their own staff. So I don't count that in that number of 1,200. Those are just corporate employees. We do have some people on the road that are doing things like inspections or, you know, business development consulting with our franchisees, and they don't live here in Billings. But across the board, just, you know, a little over 1,000 people.
You mentioned inspections, and I read that you have a 600-point inspection. That's a little bit more than my car gets usually when I take it to the repair shop. So what do you look for in a franchisee, and how do they maintain the quality that 600 points would require?
Yeah, I'll speak to that inspection. We do believe in quality. There's a lot of ways to camp, a lot of places to camp. And at one time, KOA had over 1,000 campgrounds and then really took a hard stand on quality. We want to make sure when people come to a KOA that it's meeting our standards. So we do have inspection teams that go across the country and go to every KOA property to make sure they're keeping up with different standards on sites and facilities and service. But we look at those things very carefully when we bring on a KOA franchisee. So we get a lot of requests to become a KOA throughout the year, and we have to really take a hard look at that campground and make sure that it's going to deliver upon the experience that we expect. So our guests can come to know. You know, and sometimes KOA has been called the McDonald's of camping. You have, you know, not that everyone's the same, but you get a really good idea about what you're going to get when you go to a KOA. We take that as a compliment. We want to maintain that. That's why that inspection process is so important.
Well, branding is important in any industry. If you go to McDonald's or you go to a Hilton or you go to a KOA site, you want to know that you're going to get what you've had before if you've been there in the past. So, and you have a background in sort of brand management. So tell me a little bit about your history, how you got to where you are now.
Yeah, my background prior to KOA was a mix of technology and marketing. And that's prepared me really well because, you know, at our heart, we're a camping company. You know, we think of KOA as a camping company or a franchise company, but really we're a marketing organization and a technology organization. And I can dig into that a little bit. But my background, like I said, is a hybrid of both of those. I actually, after college, started in software development. And then I went into business and technology consulting for several years and then went to graduate school to get my MBA. And that's when I fell in love with the discipline of marketing. So following business school, I started doing traditional brand management for food companies. I worked at Sara Lee Corporation in Downers Grove, Illinois, and then transitioned to Colorado to work for White Wave Foods. Because of my tech background, I naturally, you know, navigated towards digital marketing. And that's what brought me to KOA. At the time, about 8 years ago, KOA was looking for a director of digital marketing. So it was perfect with my experience. I grew up in Montana. I had been gone for some time. I had just had a baby, and I wanted to get home so my child could grow up here near my family. And it was a perfect opportunity to come to KOA and build from there. So my experience has prepared me very well. Like I said, we are a marketing company. That's a lot of reason why people join the KOA franchises for our marketing. You know, we have a very robust website that has millions of visitors every year, and that drives almost half of our reservations come through our website. We've got a very robust digital advertising program and search marketing engine and email marketing and social media, as well as traditional advertising through TV. So we do quite a bit here to promote the KOA brand, and that's a big driver of who we are here.
Well, obviously, in a competitive marketplace like recreational, you know, tourism, recreational travel, with folks like VRBO and Airbnb and Getaway House and all the things that are happening in the industry, what is it look like for you now, because it's different than it was 50 years ago when the company started?
Yeah, it's a very exciting time for the travel business in general, especially with younger generations coming into having more disposable income. We're seeing they really value travel and experiences, and camping has been a really great thing that they've glommed onto. It's a really, you know, experience to get people outside. They can spend time with family and friends. And there are a lot of things competing for their attention, as you mentioned, but we're finding camping to be extremely popular. A good way to explore North America or just do something close to home. So it has changed a lot, and that's driving changes in our design. We're bringing in a lot more unique accommodations. It's not just RV sites. We've got a really robust deluxe cabin program. These have bathrooms and kitchens and all the comforts of home, yet you have that outdoor experience. And, you know, things that are really starting to pop now are unique accommodations. So everything from teepees and yurts to tree houses are becoming more and more attractive to these younger legions of campers. So it has changed quite a bit, but it's thriving. We just came off our best year in history last year, and we're already up in numbers over that. So we've had 7 years now of year-over-year growth, and we're not seeing any indication that's going to slow down.
I read somewhere that more than 75 million families camp or engage in outdoor, recreational activities that include camping. How many of those come through KOA?
You know, it's funny that you mentioned that. We run a survey every spring called the North American Camping Report, and that aligns with the numbers we have. It shows that 61% of North American households consider themselves campers. And that equates, like you said, about 75 million households are camping, which I think a lot of people are surprised to hear that it's that, you know, inherent in our culture that people camp here in North America. You know, in any given year, KOA is serving just over a million of those. And that goes, and we're full. We've got full capacity on, especially on weekends in the peak of the summer. Our campgrounds are feeling, you know, capacity constraints. So, you know, more campgrounds are being added. People are building additional land to add more sites. They're building more campgrounds because there's a lot of demand for camping. And you know, it just illustrates how many people are out there camping in lots of different ways. It's a really wonderful activity. You can camp in state parks, national parks. There are rises of startups that are allowing people with private land to, you know, open up their space for people to come camp on their space. There's private campground systems like ours. There's independent campgrounds. There's lots of ways people engage in this activity, which is just really healthy. It's not just baby boomers that might be retiring and setting out in their RV. Actually, the largest segment of the camping population is millennials. Over 40% are millennials. And camping is a very popular activity, particularly in those millennial and Gen X families. We're seeing a lot more increase there. And the other really exciting thing that we're looking at in our business is the increase in diversity. In fact, 50% of all new campers last year were non-Caucasian. They were, you know, diverse in their ethnicity. And that's super exciting. We're seeing huge increases in African Americans camping, Hispanics camping, and campers of Asian descent. So I think that's going to have a really big impact on how camping evolves going forward.
Did you camp as a kid?
I did. I grew up in southwest Montana in a small town of about 700 people called Sheridan, Montana. And it's right in the heart of the Rocky Mountains and the Tobacco Roots in that area of the state. It's very beautiful, and outdoors are a big part of our life there. So I wasn't an RV camper as a kid, but we definitely tent camped. A lot of mountain lakes around there that we hike into, and we would camp growing up. So that was definitely something that my parents introduced to me, and that's what we see in our business, that those who are introduced to it by their parents is something, as they have families, that they want to pass on to their family. And so it's a very nice generational activity that gets passed down.
So millennials are camping. Millennials also have interests in the environment and the green movement. Is that incorporated anywhere in the KOA philosophy these days?
It is. We have a program called Camp Green that a lot of our campgrounds participate in, and that's all about integrating more sustainable practices within the operations of their business and extending that into their campers. So, and then here at the home office, in our company-owned properties, we do quite a bit of work in sustainability as well. In fact, at our property in Tucson, Arizona, we have what you call a power parasol, and it's a large canopy, if you will, over like two or three rows of RV sites that is generated solar energy. So, and that offsets a lot of the energy usage on the campground and provides some nice shade for campers underneath that in the hot Tucson desert. So we do quite a bit of that sort of thing across our properties and constantly educating campgrounds on how they can do more.
As you explain the KOA of the 21st century, it sounds much more like a destination location.
You know, KOA is a very diverse system. We actually have separated our system into three different segments, if you will, and all of our parks will be in one of these segments within the next 2 years. And so there is the KOA journey, which is that that park that can be a destination and a great base camp for exploring the area, but it might be a great place to stop at as you're on your overnight stay. You're on your journey. You're traveling across North America. Maybe that's the more traditional KOA and the backbone of how we grew up. And then we get to what we call the KOA holiday. And those truly are destinations. You're going to see more activities. You're going to see deluxe cabins. You're going to see these patio RV sites. And that's really the majority of our system now. Great places to go for a few days. Could be close to home or could be, you know, near a location where you're headed across the country. But they really are true destinations. Locations. And then we have KOA resorts. We have about 20 KOA resorts across the country right now. And these are the ultimate in outdoor destinations. A lot more amped up recreation, food service, more deluxe cabins, more patio sites, deluxe tent sites. And the intention with a KOA resort is you don't even have to leave the campground. And a lot of times, most of our system, it's base camp locations. You might show up, you might be exploring the national park, you might be exploring the area. And then we've got some parks that there's so much going on, you may never leave.
So do you have the opportunity as president to visit sites and talk to franchisees and get feedback on what's going on and, you know, in their interest level?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think my whole time here, it's been very important for us to to engage as much as we can with our franchisees and our owners and managers and learn more. It's really hard to run a business just sitting behind a desk. So it's really important that we're in the field engaging. So I travel a lot for my job. And that could be everything from, you know, going to campgrounds. We've got groups of 20 groups, meetings, groups that come together in different parts of the state and they meet, or different parts of the country, and they meet twice a year. And we go to those meetings and engage with them at that level. We also hold a big convention every year at various parts in the country. This year we'll be in Fort Worth, and we'll have about 1,000 people there. And that's a really great time. We get a lot of one-on-one time with franchisees to talk about, you know, their needs, their concerns, and we also do a lot of education at that convention. But absolutely, it's really important that we travel because you can't really – I'm a big proponent of living the brand, so – you know, I camp myself when I travel. I like to stay at the KOA. I take my kids on vacations. I call them campcations, different parts of the country in the summer when they're out of school. So they can really experience camping as well because it's really hard for me to market a brand that I'm not living and breathing.
You're a female executive of a large, visible company. When you go to these conventions, when you bring people together, when you work in the recreational industry, are you an anomaly, or is there a growing sector of female leadership emerging?
I've definitely seen changes. I would say when I came here about 8 years ago, it was very male-dominated industry. And, you know, and I speak across camping as well as RV industry, which is a big driver of our business. And while I still see that, it's changing. You know, obviously, we now have a female president. We've got other females in leadership positions at KOA, and I see that as I meet with people in the RV industry that we're starting to see more female executives rising as well. And it's not just women, it's also, I think there's a lot more younger people coming into leadership positions at these companies, so we're seeing a little bit of changing of generations as well. So, and that's reflected in our business. A long time, you know, KOA or camping in general was viewed as a older, more Caucasian activity, and our data would show that. And we're just seeing a complete change in the landscape across the board. And a lot of that's, I think, influenced how we see Campers Camp is influencing what we're seeing in leadership as well.
Well, as the camper changes, does what is required at a KOA campground change?
Absolutely. We do a lot of research at KOA. I mentioned the North American Camping Report earlier, and we also run a lot of other research throughout the year to help us understand what campers want in a campground. And then we inject that as thought leadership into our franchise system about ways we can change our campgrounds to meet the needs of our campers. So we've seen a lot of changes in recent years in terms of group space, for example. So knowing that people are camping in groups, like the average size of a millennial camping trip is 8 to 10 people, our research would show us. We know they're coming in groups. So that influences how we think about how sites are located near each other's, RV sites, near tent sites, near cabins, knowing that people camp different ways and want to be close to each other. It's influencing group space in terms of recreation. We've recently launched an initiative around pocket parks on our campgrounds, which to us is, you know, taking an open recreation space on a campground and injecting, you know, seating areas, nice landscaping, and really high-end commercial grade lawn games. So it could be bocce ball, for example, or, you know, ping pong, but it's real high commercial grade and it's outdoors, and we integrate that with the seating and the landscaping. So it creates these natural gathering spots because we know that's how people interact with each other on the campground. And then we influence that into our site design. We have something we call the patio, the KOA patio, we've actually trademarked. And we have specific dimensions about how large it has to be. It has to have 2 seating areas. It has to have a fire ring. It has to have a gas grill. And those patios you'll see on our cabins, on our tents, and on our RV sites. So we are changing what we offer on our campgrounds in response to what we know campers are looking for.
Well, it's changed a lot from the $1.75 a night, you know, back in the 60s. So with the addition of these amenities, is there a price ceiling that you're trying to stay within? Is there pressure or price sensitivity among your customers?
Absolutely. I think camping it tends to have some price sensitivity. We don't set prices at the national level for our parks. That's all set individually by the business owner. And we really try to encourage people to price off their market. I would say in any given market, KOA is probably going to be more expensive camping option. And a lot of that equates back to the value we're providing, whether that be through the recreation on site, through the patio sites, through the deluxe cabins, through the store and the service and the amenities. But in general, we do see a lot of price sensitivity, and that tends to skew a bit older. More baby boomers that may be retired and traveling the country, we see a lot more price sensitivity there. And that's definitely something we're up against. But as people add in new features on the park, well, we can command a higher rate, and we're getting that. You know, those patio sites I spoke about are extremely popular, and they're probably the highest priced site on the campground, yet they're the first to fill. And we know that if you're delivering on the experience, it justifies the price.
Well, one of the things that I wasn't aware of until I took a look at your website was the fact that you can drive to a KOA campground and stay in a cabin, and you don't have to have an RV, or you don't have to bring your accommodations with you.
Right. That's been a big change, I think, in camping over the past few years. We have what we call KOA deluxe cabins. These have bathrooms and kitchens, you know, decks for outdoor entertaining and fire rings. But inside, you can watch TV. You've got lofts. You've got bunk beds. You know, there's lots of ways people can stay. And that's really reaching a new demographic of camper. It's people that maybe were hotel guests before that are looking for a unique way to stay. And that's the type of people we're getting in our deluxe cabins.
Well, it also would seem to me that it would also compete with the VRBOs and the Airbnbs. If I'm not divulging or asking you to divulge a secret, what's your strategy to deal with them? Because once you're moving into a cabin on a KOA site, you can also go online and look at in the area all of the private homes or apartments or condos that are available to potential customers.
Yeah, you know, honestly, we don't have a strategy of competing with those sites. Obviously, that's a lot of ways people travel and they're looking for unique stays. We actually use those channels to market our deluxe cabins, particularly VRBO and a few others in that vein. That in certain markets, it makes a lot of sense for us to put up our cabin inventory on those sites. You know, we obviously explain it's on a campground, but that's been a really good channel for us to spread the word about our deluxe cabins and our unique accommodations. You know, the majority of our business is RV, and that definitely is in the consumer's mind is we're RV parks. So we use these other channels to help spread the word about our cabin offering, and that's bringing in a lot of new business to us through those channels.
Sure. The social media channels, those channels. I'm old enough to remember that when I was a kid in travel, you would get a AAA guide book, and those were the places you would look to stay at, and that was about your only option. There wasn't very much brand marketing other than the AAA brand. And of course, things have really escalated and permutated, you know, since those days. Let me ask you this, though. What does the future look like for you? I mean, you look into the future, you always have to probably take into consideration things like gas prices and what's happening in the economy and factor that in. But tell me a little bit about the future for KOA.
It's funny you mentioned that. We've just been doing some work on defining campground of the future. We're working on a project in partnership with the RV Industry Association that's really trying to take into account trends that we see in technology, trends we see in travel habits, looking at what we know about these younger generations that are coming into camping, thinking about site design, what's happening with RVs and how that might influence how we adjust our parks to meet changes in that space. And we're working on this collective effort called Campground of the Future to really define what the future looks like. But I can tell you at a high level, it's going to be a lot more technology. Technology already is a really big driver on campgrounds. We see campers want Wi-Fi. They expect Wi-Fi. They want to be connected, even though they're disconnecting, in essence, a little bit from day-to-day life while they're camping. Still need to be connected on the campground. We're looking at lots of ways we use technology to interact with campers while they're on site between the owner of the park and the camper. So let's say they could be at their RV site and they want to order firewood, and we can do that through our mobile app, and that could let the campground know to deliver firewood, as an example. So I think that there's a lot of changes going that way. Like I mentioned, I believe earlier, there's a big rise about unique accommodations. You've heard the word glamping, I assume, which is really, you know, glamour camping, I think. And there's lots of ways glamping can be defined, but there's a real collective movement in North America right now about defining what that means for us. It was started in, you know, I don't know, started, I guess, clear back in Africa, if you think about glamping in its earliest days. But it's much more established in Europe and places like Australia and New Zealand. But it's really becoming a thing here in North America. And there's a lot of companies dipping their toes in the water and doing more in glamping. And KOA is no different. We have over about 85 parks that have put in some form of unique accommodation, everything from a teepee to a covered Conestoga wagon to a treehouse, and obviously canvas tents. And we're actually, for KOA on our own, we're looking at developing glamping-only parks could be a future for us, a whole new business segment. So there's a lot of changes coming, and we're just trying to stay in front of them.
That all sounds very exciting. Did you know when you went to Notre Dame, I think as an undergraduate, and then the Kellogg School at Northwestern, that this would be your profession at this point in your life?
No, No. It wasn't on my radar screen at all. I was a government major in college and then graduated and went into technology and thought that was going to be my path. I had been back in Montana for a bit right after college and then left again and lived in Chicago. And then once I moved into marketing, I hadn't thought much about marketing in the hospitality industry. I was working in food, as I mentioned before, and everything, all the stars aligned. I wanted to move back to Montana. I was starting to keep an eye out for what job opportunities there might be, and I feel very fortunate that I've been able to come back to where I grew up and work on a brand, national level marketing, and now obviously running a company with a international footprint. And I didn't know I would have that opportunity here in Montana, and I'm very blessed for that. I didn't honestly know KOA was headquartered here, and I think that's true for a lot of Montanans. I think you grow up here and you don't realize that this company was founded and headquartered here, even here within the city of Billings where I live. I don't think a lot of people know that, so it definitely wasn't on my radar, but I'm very fortunate to be here.
You mentioned the bi-country relationship. You have Canadian sites. Is the Canadian system different? Are the Canadian appetites of consumers different than the American?
Not tremendously. You know, there's differences in how we market, specifically in Quebec. I would say Quebec is the most unique. French language is very important. There's a lot of rich culture and history within Quebec. And so the way people camp and engage with Quebec businesses is very different. But, you know, by and large as a whole, I would say it's pretty similar. We definitely look at our research through the lens of both the U.S. and Canada. The Canadians tend to be very, very avid campers, more so, I would say, than the Americans. And they tend to go to their provincial parks and national parks quite frequently, especially, let's think of Western Canada. It's just such a rich area for splendor and natural beauty in national parks, and there's a lot of state park camping. So, but in general, I would say they have the same appetites for camping as Americans, and we've got great franchisees in Canada that deliver upon that KOA experience.
Well, when you look at the map, I mean, one of the things that you alluded to, which I think is important, is you look at Canada, and there's, 40 million people, and the country is so vast, particularly in the, you know, northwest areas of the country, that the only way you can visit those places is in a camping, you know, modality. I mean, you can't really go up there and stay very many places. So there seems to be a lot of opportunity there for expanding what you're doing in Canada.
Absolutely. We've got, you know, over 30 parks in Canada. Most of those are in the east. And the west is definitely, we have a couple parks in the west, but it's definitely kind of uncharted territory for KOA. We'd like to do a lot more in Western Canada because it's, people go to Western Canada to be outdoors and to camp. It's a really rich market for us.
As a president of a company with 80 employees in Billings and 1,200 people around the country that you have to work with, you know, what have you learned so far? What skills have you figured out you have to employ to deal with an organization from the top down at this point?
Well, the big things for me, whether it's this job or my previous jobs, it probably goes back to being a consultant, have been around communication. And I'm really big on collaboration cross-functionally. So I think we've worked really well here cross-functionally as a team across departments. We have a lot of cross-functional initiatives that we're driving. And when you've got a lot of people in the field, you know, across our 31 properties, and you're trying to also be effective for 500 franchisees, you have to be a good communicator. So that's the biggest thing for me. It's, you know, being available to people, being able to effectively communicate, written and deliver those speeches when we're face-to-face, we have to constantly be keeping in mind how we communicate, how frequently we communicate, and how effectively we communicate in order to make this system run.
You talked about that you having unprecedented growth and that the backbone of the organization are franchisees. That's where most of your customers are staying. If there's a listener who has a piece of property and wants to develop a campground, you know, what would you say to them now? What are you looking for?
You know, we want to be a partner with somebody. It's not a top-down relationship. We're really looking for a solid partnership. And there's a lot of really great business people out there running franchises. You know, our owner is very passionate about entrepreneurism and passionate about small business. And we're looking for people that want to partner with our brand to make their business better. So we take very seriously our role in marketing this brand. We take seriously in our role in delivering top technology to our properties to use and all of the training and support that we give in order to make that business as successful as possible. So a lot of people come to KOA for different reasons. It could be the marketing, it could be the technology. Could be they need help finding staffing, and we've got services to do that. For whichever reason people are coming to the brand, we're hoping that we're solving their needs and helping to make them a more successful business person. In terms of what we're looking for people that are running campgrounds already that want to convert to the brand. We're looking for people that have an itch to create something new and maybe have access to land and they want to build a campground. We're starting to see more campgrounds built now than ever before, which is also an indication of the healthy market that camping's in right now, as people are actually building parks, which they hadn't done for quite some time because it's very expensive to do so, but we're seeing people doing that across the country. So we're looking for, you know, smart business people that want to partner with us in moving their business forward.
I haven't seen your data, but it would seem to me from other things I've read and that domestic travel and domestic tourism is increasing as world conditions change and modify, that there's more interest in exploring America than getting on a plane and going to foreign destinations where there may be political upheaval or uncertainties. Is that true? And are you seeing a growing amount of people taking their vacations at home?
Well, we're seeing I don't know specifically on what the domestic versus foreign travel numbers look like, but I will say our business is seeing increases. We're seeing a lot more people camping closer to home. You know, over 60% of people are just camping within 100 miles of home. And that's been a big change over time. And I think that also speaks to people being very busy and people just taking maybe a 2-3 day trip and they want to go closer to home. So I believe that's happening. We do have a pretty healthy international market that was down a little bit this year. And when we dug into that with some of our partners in the RV rental space, they shared with us some insight that typically on World Cup years, they see travel to the U.S. decrease. And this was a World Cup year. So that's interesting. We hadn't thought about that before, but it would make sense to me because they're maybe traveling for soccer or they're focused elsewhere instead of coming to the U.S. But in general, we've got a healthy international market as well, and especially on shoulder seasons. We see a lot of travel. And in our national park campgrounds near the national parks are always thriving with international business. So I think both sides are pretty healthy. But yeah, my data doesn't necessarily dig into the ins and outs of how domestic travel is changing. But I do know people are camping more frequently, and people are camping closer to home.
Last question. Tell me something about the KOA experience, the KOA life, that would surprise our listeners to find out.
Well, I think that if you're an RV camper, you're very well aware of KOA. KOA has been around for 56 years. That might surprise people, but maybe not if you're an RV camper. Our logo has dotted the highways of North America for quite some time. But I think those people that aren't RV campers would be very surprised to learn the great family experience they can have on a KOA. You know, and I was one of those people. We've got cabins. You don't have to stay in an RV. We've got beautiful tent sites. We've got activities on our parks. It's, you know, passive recreation such as swimming pools or mini golf, but a lot of our campgrounds really dig in on the active recreation side. There's themed weekends. There's planned activities by the hour. this is really a place to take your family and have a whole unique experience that maybe you hadn't thought of before. I think that people would be surprised to hear there's food service. We've got campgrounds with wonderful restaurants. We've got campgrounds with water features. We've got campgrounds with unique accommodations like tree houses. And I think that's what's eye-opening to people that hadn't ever thought about K-Way before, because maybe they don't own an RV. And to think that this is a place that they could take their family, and there's probably one close to home, I think would also be surprising. To know we have over 500 campgrounds, there's probably one near where you are that you can go for a weekend with your family. And I don't think people have thought about it. And we're definitely seeing the numbers. People are starting to think that way. But I think that a lot of people listening to this show would never have thought about KOA as being a place that they would go for a vacation. But I think we're definitely changing that.
It certainly was news to me. Toby O'Rourke, it's been a pleasure having you on the show. And good luck in the future growth and expansion of KOA.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me today.
I appreciate your listening to Can Do Lessons from Savvy Montana Entrepreneurs, produced by Autumn Barnes and Beth Ann Austin in association with Montana Public Radio. For comments, recommendations for future guests, or general information, please go to mtpr.org. There you can also find previous guests' contact information and content from all our shows. I'd like to give a shout out to Yellowstone Public Radio in Billings, Montana for helping us with the production of today's show. Listen next time to Can Do, when our guest will be John Connors, a Montana native and a graduate of the University of Montana. John is the former chief financial officer of Microsoft. Today, he's a board member of Nike and a managing partner at Ignition Partners, a venture capital firm dedicated to helping the best entrepreneurs seize opportunities. Production support for this Can Do podcast comes from the Dennis and Phyllis Washington Foundation, dedicated to investing in people to improve the quality of their lives, and from the Greater Montana Foundation, encouraging communication on issues, trends, and values of importance to Montanans, and from Blackfoot, providing communication solutions for Montana businesses, plus opportunities like C2M Beta, an innovation lab aimed at helping startups thrive. C2MBeta.com.